Welcome back to Stationary and Sassy, a Fast and Furious quarantine podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Hampton.
And I'm your other host, Penelope Phippen. How's it going, Jamie?
It's going all right. How's it going with you?
I am doing okay.
Okay is good. I give that a stamp of approval.
Yeah. So, we watched Fast and Furious, Spy Racers, episodes 2 and 3. And I'd like to start, as we always do, by asking you what your top line takeaway from these two episodes were.
Penelope, I love this show. I think it's so good.
So, I agree with you. The show has now fully grown on me. I'm deeply, deeply invested. So much so that I even started taking notes about things I wanted to talk to you about.
That's amazing. I always take notes because I don't trust myself to remember anything at all.
But yeah, no, I like the my top line takeaway is the show is very good. Like, it gives me not quite the same feels as a Fast and Furious movie, but it's like it's sort of reminiscent in certain ways, and that is amazing.
Yeah, I think it's got like a similar vibe to like the overarching like what's happening in like the plot, but like what they're actually doing. I mean, it is for kids, but I love that about it. All of the characters are really charming. But it also has like huge Mario Kart vibes because it's basically like, what if, I mean, Fast and Furious already like ignores physics, but like in a way that you'd expect from a movie, not in the way that you'd expect like Roger Rabbit to ignore physics.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a few things I want to talk to you about specifically from the last two episodes that like have become thematic pieces. So one is that I love how bullets don't exist in this universe and instead all guns shoot paintballs. every single gun shoots paintballs and it's kind of amazing.
Like paintballs like, specifically too.
Yeah, like they did that bit once and I was like, "Oh, that's a funny bit." And then they did it like three more times in these two episodes. And I was like, wow, okay, this is like clearly somebody built the like animation tech for spraying paintballs over a car screen. And that's just like the thing they're going to lean on now.
Yeah, I mean, you can have guns in kids' shows mainly usually these days. So this doesn't surprise me.
But what I like is they have weapons that shoot explosives. That's fine. Like, you're allowed to have a rocket launcher, but you can't have bullets, so you have to have a paintball gun. And then they, like, reuse the paintball gun over and over again.
Yeah, you can also have, like, saw blades coming out of your car. When I saw the saw blades coming out of your car, I, like, gasped. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, and flamethrowers are all, like, lethal weapons are fine. Just don't you dare have a gun that shoots bullets.
I see both sides of this because I agree with you that it's silly and I get what you're getting at. But like also like a kid can't accidentally find a rocket launcher and play with it.
Sure. I don't know. the way this country is going at the moment, I don't know that that's true.
That's fair.
Okay, I have one thing I need to discuss with you that's like extremely important. Okay. And that is that Miss Nowhere is canonically a trans woman.
Really?
Well, that was a whole scene where she was like, I'm really into pickles. I'm eating these like and then they threw back to it later. So I am declaring that Nowhere is canonically trans.
I'm totally here for that. Because, I've like, already claimed Frosty as my non-binary child, so.
And oh my god, Frosty has huge non-binary. Like Nowhere, like, it was very funny to me that, like, there was this thing about pickles, and I burst out laughing, and then they, like, threw back to it later in the episode, and I was like, I genuinely hope that is, like, a trans person doing some savvy writing. Because, like, it's just too good not to be, right? I love this show.
I'm really glad you love it because I really genuinely love it very much. One of the things I really liked about both of these episodes is like the way they're leaning into like, what would happen if you took a bunch of children and gave them like a lot of money?
Right, right. One thing I really can't get over that happens in episode 3 is just how huge the truck is that they have. Like, it's probably like 2 lanes wide. It just looks so ridiculous in that tiny old westy style town.
I was thinking, like, they have such high-tech gear. Like, how are these people gonna, like, believe that these children have this much stuff? And then they did it so well. It was, like, a throwaway line where he's like, oh, yeah, we stole this from, like, some rich nerd. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yep, that tracks. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it tracks so hard. I like that Tony Toretto... it kind of like is still making lots of mistakes. Like, it's not like they've instantly turned into invincible super drivers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of great. I love that there are two bad guys named Bone Grinder and Pizza Rave.
Pizza like... Rave's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I already was feeling in episode 1, like, oh, all of the kids in this crew are like really likable.
Yeah.
But then like they put out all of these characters that could have easily been like one-off characters that you never think about again, and they made them all really interesting and likable. I like Pizza Rave. I like Woofer with like the big stereo system. I don't know. I like all of them. I think they're so funny.
I love that these characters all just have like a ton of personality. I'm really curious about the interaction between Tony and Layla. I think Layla is going to end up in a like romantic relationship with Tony at least for a little bit, and then she's going to discover that he is betraying her, and like she's going to have to choose between being a bad guy and a good guy.
Yeah, I think that I would agree that they're setting up some romantic tension for the future.
Yeah, for sure. And then the only other note I had is that at one point in the episode, they show some code on the screen of the truck, and I checked, and it's actually completely valid JavaScript that's used to shim a behavior in Internet Explorer. Clearly, like they just went to GitHub and pulled some random code from somewhere.
That's better than what they could have done, though. Like, I didn't notice that, but there was the scene where Frosty was talking to, like, the shifter tech person.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, she was like, my OPSEC. And I was like, ooh, they just used the word OPSEC. That means they know more about computers than the people that wrote the movies. And then they said some stuff that, like, didn't totally make sense, but, like, some of it kind of made sense. And there were acronyms that did mean things, and the things were security related. So, like, I'm counting that as the most accurate talk about computers in the entire franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually nonsense, but, like, at least the words were from the right part of, like, the vocabulary rather than just, like, completely made up. Like, look, all the words they used were computer security related, it's just that the combined sentence didn't mean anything.
Yeah, but we're comparing it to, like, you have to hack harder or the door's gonna come down because it's straining against you.
Or like, two people at a computer at the same time, or, like, hacking all of the cars and driver. Yeah, like, way better. So I guess in that sense, the second episode of this show has better technology writing than the entire rest of the Fast and Furious universe.
That's what combined. I'm saying. Yes.
God, fuck. That's embarrassing for this universe.
Penelope, I love Frosty so much. Mm-hmm. The thing that, like, we had to stop when a kids show, I love kids shows, and like kids shows are funny enough that I have to like pause to give myself time to laugh sometimes. And that happened when Frosty was playing the world's best prank on Cisco and was like, I am a police officer. They took my brain when I was killed in the line of duty. I wish to see my children again. We were like, oh my God, there's so much happening. Absolutely losing it. I love them. In the first episode, I didn't notice if they used what pronouns they used for Frosty because it didn't really come up that I noticed in episode one. But now in these two, they are using he, him pronouns for Frosty. So that's fine. I'm going to continue using they, them.
Yeah. We can declare Frosty to be non-binary for the purposes of our podcast. Just like we can declare that Nowhere is a trans woman for the purposes of our podcast. Like, why else would she be so into pickles? That was another scene inside the big truck that was really amazing. And that was Echo beating up on the muscly bad guy with like the lights flickering and stuff. And I just thought that was so well done.
Yeah,
like,
I thought it was well animated too.
Like, well animated, like it was funny. Oh God. Like, the show is actually like, I think the first episode was a little rough, but I think like the show is really well put together.
I agree. We should talk about Echo, because Echo's a total badass, actually.
Yeah, he's amazing.
At one point, this is in my notes, she described spies as like, yeah, I love secretly messing with people. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's what you're doing. I thought that was a very good description of spies and a very honest description of why she enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like the race at the beginning, the shifter race, like the very beginning of episode two, was very good. I think that it had big Fast and Furious vibes to me. I felt like it was a real kind of like Tokyo Drift reference, to be honest.
Right. The corkscrew.
I liked that.
Parking lots. Yeah. And actually, like, it was interesting. You know, I had that same thought, like when they were driving through the construction site, I also wondered if that was a Tokyo Drift callback, right? To the very, you may recall, the very beginning of Tokyo Drift. Like, I wonder if they are inserting references to the mainline Fast and Furious universe in this show. We should watch for that and maybe...
I mean, Dom was in it.
Right, I mean, I mean subtler references, right? Like,
I understand what you mean, but I feel like I totally believe that they would be doing that. Like, absolutely.
I wonder if there are any that we've missed so far.
Probably.
I was interested in the hijacking a truck of like drink.
Oh yeah, I thought that was cute.
I was not sure if that was a Fast and Furious 4 throwback. Because, like, I mean, it's interesting, right? Many of the set pieces they have in the show are, like, straight copied from set pieces in other Fast and Furious movies, right?
Right, but with paintballs.
With paintballs, yeah, and, like, fist fights instead of guns and...
There are a lot of fist fights, to be fair, in Fast and Furious.
It's true, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say about the drink... That little weird segue commercial they did with Frosty that was in the other animation style, totally into that kind of stuff. I love shows that do that kind of thing. I was very excited.
Super good. I kind of really like that they, like, the episodes are not separate, right? Like, it's like the universe just keeps rolling, right? So, like, there were throwbacks to episode 2 and episode 3, right? So, like, the bad guy from episode 2 is there. Or, like, I don't even know if he's a bad guy, right? He was just trying to drive a truck full of sports drink across the border. And, like, they hijacked. like, that doesn't seem like an inherently nefarious motivation to me.
Right.
And they just hijack his truck full of sports drink. And then they're, like, taunting him about it in the next episode.
Well,
like,
it was a bet. Did you catch that?
Yeah, no, I did, but like...
So of course they're taunting him about it. That's why you make a bet.
Yeah, but like, to be clear, what I was saying is I don't know if he's a bad guy so much as he is a drinks distributor.
That's true. All we've actually seen, all we've really heard about that crew is that the people that are definitely bad guys consider them to be rivals. So maybe they're like, maybe those guys are like undercover cops. That would be so good.
Yeah. Like, I'm very curious to see how the like shifter reveal is going, like the reveal that they're working for the Nobody organization,
yeah,
is going to happen.
Honestly, I'm stressed about it.
The other thing I'm like really curious about is the keys. I want to know what the keys are.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll find out.
yeah, it's like it's interesting to me how like they've set some stuff up that clearly is not going to resolve for like 5 or 6 episodes at this point. And I'm like, wait, how long is the season?
It's like 8 or 10.
Yeah. So like maybe like 2 or 3 episodes, right? Gosh, this is like, honestly, like I just kind of want to blow through the entire rest of the season right now is like how much I'm into this.
I know. I'm really enjoying it too. You've made a couple of comments about the pacing, and I would say the pacing is about what I would expect as, like, standard from, like, a modern cartoon, yeah, for, like, this demographic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very good. Like, they've really kind of, I love cartoons, but they've really kind of mastered that format, I think. Modern cartoons are very good.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, and I'm really enjoying it. It's become very engaging to me. Like, I'm sort of, like, I'm definitely hooked now.
I'm glad. Me too. I'm really excited about it. Well, thanks so much for listening to Stationary and Sassy from me, Jamie.
And me, Penelope.
Until next time, we'll be living our lives a quarter mile at a time.